We're turning God's Word tonight to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. You may remember that I've been using Psalm 139 as a preparatory series. It's been a little while since I've preached on it. There are other things I could use for preparatory at other times. And so it's something I started looking back. I saw it began in 2016, so it wasn't with every Lord's Supper. But now we've come to the last two verses in the psalm, which are the verses I was really aiming at when I used this psalm, that prayer of David at the end. But now we'll read the entire psalm again, and the text will be those last two verses. This is the word of God. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Now here's the text. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray together. Father, this time of prayer reminds us that we need the Holy Spirit. Whenever we hear the preaching of the gospel, for this word to live in our hearts, we need the Spirit to work. We're deeply aware of that tonight, especially as we hear this word. And we are to make this prayer following the example of David himself. It's not a prayer that we can truly mean except for the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so we pray, Father, that the Spirit will work powerfully in Thy servant so He can bring us this word, but in us so that not only can we hear it, but that we would live by it and believe it. We pray then for that powerful work for the glory of Thy great name. In Jesus' name do we pray all these things. Amen. The text that we consider tonight is about examination. And how fitting it is that we look at it in connection with the self-examination that we must conduct in the coming week before partaking of the Lord's Supper. So I thought it good to remind us at the beginning of the sermon tonight why we need self-examination before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Why is this our tradition that we have a preparatory sermon and a preparatory service? Well, this examination of ourselves is not something that we use to determine whether or not we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper next Sunday. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will come next Sunday partaking. We want to partake. That's the desire that we have. And so it will be that we will partake of the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. So the examination is not about that, whether or not we partake. Now, there, of course, there are some who may not partake. Children who haven't made confession of their faith may not partake. There may be those as well who are walking in sin, and they may not partake because they're not repentant right now for their sin. But that then leads us to understand why we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves so that we partake in a right way. That's what was emphasized in the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which we read earlier in our service. So that we saw, and we, as we read that form, there are three things that we want to see and know as we examine ourselves in this week. First, we consider our sins and the curse due to us for them so that we would humble ourselves before God. We humble ourselves then because we see and know that what makes us worthy partakers is not us, not ourselves, but it's Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And so that's the second thing. Do we believe the promise of God that all our sins are forgiven us for Jesus' sake? And then finally, are we committed to living lives of true thankfulness in the whole of our lives? Are we committed to that? And is that evident by the way in which we live? Again, we look at these things not to determine whether or not we're going to partake, but if some of these things aren't true, then repentance must take place. Repentance for sin. Repentance for not believing in Christ like we ought, and then that we would repent and that we would believe so that we would partake in a right way, that right way of faith. Faith that looks to Christ and says, my righteousness is found in Him and in Him alone. And we come to see and know that in the way of examining ourselves, seeing our sin, and repenting of those sins. The heart and essence of that is knowing sin. And so that leads us to look at then this text and the place that it has in our examination in this week. It's a passage in which the psalmist is praying that God would expose sin to him. And that's the importance of this prayer for us as well, that God would expose our sins to us. Now, this comes at the end of Psalm 139. And we ought to be reminded for a moment what Psalm 139 is about. The beginning of the psalm, really all of the psalm up until the very end, is about the greatness and majesty of God. The majesty of His omniscience, the majesty of His omnipresence, and the majesty of His omnipotence. He is a God who is all-knowing. That's omniscient. He is a God who is everywhere present. That's omnipresent. And He is a God who is almighty, all-powerful. He is omnipotent. And what follows then from knowing these great things about God is this very petition that the psalmist makes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The prayer flows out of what we've learned about God in this psalm. But even though, with that being said, we should understand tonight that what we're looking at is at something extremely difficult to pray. My aim in preaching on Psalm 139 was these two verses. And it happens sometimes that when you're working with a text, you didn't realize what you were getting into when you looked at a text. That's true with these two verses out of Psalm 139. As I was thinking on them, I was reminded, you know what? Reverend Voss, I think, had written something in his meditations on Psalm 139, or on the Psalms, O Taste and See. And I went there last night and I was reminded of what he said, and I thought he captured it well with these words. He said this in that meditation. This is a very tremendous prayer. I would almost say a terrible prayer. I am tempted to warn you and myself, be careful with the Word of God. If you or I should pray this petition, God might hear you and answer you and give you your petition. Be sure when you pray this prayer that you really want God to do as you ask, examine you, yes, and let you know what ails you. You may, in such a case, find out a lot of horrible things about yourself. That expresses it well. But be warned. You pray this from the heart like you should, you're going to find out a lot of horrible things about yourself. But that's not the end of it. You're also going to find out about the wondrous mercy and the grace of God for sinners like us. So with that in mind, we consider tonight this text under the theme, Show Me My Sinful Heart. Show me my sinful heart. Notice first the humble request, secondly the confident request, and finally the focused request. This is what the psalmist is praying for here in the text. He's praying for this. He's requesting that God would show him the sin of his heart, the sin of his inner man. This arises out of three aspects or parts that we find here in the text that we need to look at specifically. First of all, we see and understand that the psalmist is focused on the inner man. He speaks here of heart and thoughts. It's not that the psalmist is ignoring the outer man. It's not that the psalmist is ignoring his outward actions. But he's seeing and understanding that all of those outward actions flow out of the heart. We read in Proverbs 4, verse 23, that out of the heart are the issues of life. What that means is that everything that we think, everything that we say, everything that we do flows out of its heart, out of our hearts. It finds its source in the heart. That's what Jesus often taught in the New Testament as well when he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Jesus was saying there that every word out of our mouths arises from our hearts. The heart has to do with what it is that we worship. The heart is the spiritual center of a man. And what a heart seeks after, what a heart follows after, that is what that heart worships. That's the emphasis of the heart. It's worship, the worship of man. We see and understand that the heart influences our thoughts, and our thoughts influence our hearts. We can put it this way. We think about what we desire, and we desire what we think about. Now, when it comes to our hearts, here's why we need to examine our hearts, and we need God to examine our hearts. It's because of what's found in them. Yes, we have regenerated hearts. We have changed hearts. But that doesn't mean that there is no sin that is found anymore in our hearts. Remember what we read in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. We read there, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? There's deceit there. There's wickedness that is found in our hearts. And we of ourselves are unable to see it and know it. We are blind to it. So the psalmist cries out that in regard to the inner man, in regard to his heart and his thoughts as well, search me, try me, and know me. Now in this passage, there is parallelism. So that when the psalmist cries out, search me, O God, he repeats the idea when he says, try me, search me, try me. Those two things belong together, but not exactly the same. The idea of search me is this. It means to look and then to investigate thoroughly and intensely. The idea here is of one who digs and is digging to find something. So maybe, men, you've got a project in your yard. You want to build something. You want to put a fence in, whatever it may be. And you have those guys who come out and they paint all those lines in the yard and they put their flags in so that you know where the electrical line is and you know where the gas line is, because you know that if you're putting a fence in and you dig the holes for those fence posts and you hit one of those things, it could be dangerous. It could be very dangerous. And so if you find one of those painted lines there and those flags are right where you need to put a hole for your post, you're going to dig very carefully, looking for that electrical line or that gas line, making sure not to break it or touch it or run into it. That's the idea here, looking, digging and looking very closely or carefully. Well, that's the prayer of the psalmist here, that God would carefully look at what is in his heart, what is in his desires, what is in his thoughts. And then he says, try me. Try me means to test or prove. So he wants the holy God, the one true and living God, to evaluate what he finds. And then he says, know me. So not just search, not just test. But then when he says, know me, what he's really getting at is not that God's going to find something he didn't know before, but know in such a way that God would show it to him. Ah, there's what the psalmist is getting after. Not just that God would see it, but God would see it so that he would see it. God, search my heart, search my thoughts, know that so that I can know. And then what follows is verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's what the psalmist wants to know. To know wickedness that is found in his heart and wickedness that is found in his thoughts. Notice it's internal, the thoughts and the desires. He wants God to expose his sin, to shed his light, the light of his word, shine it around in there. Kind of like we might do when we're looking in a dark room. You take a flashlight and you shine it all around to see what you want to find in that room. That's what the psalmist is asking for. Shine your light upon me and show me all the sin that is found in me. This is a humble request. The humble request of a repentant sinner. This is what a truly repentant sinner will pray. Search me, O God. Try me and know me. The psalmist here is a repentant sinner who wants to know the depths of his sin. And so he doesn't want to just deal with his outward behavior. He also wants to know the root of that sin in his own heart. And so as a regenerated man of God, one who has a changed heart, one who wants to put off sin, one who wants to live for the glory of God, one who wants to confess his sin, wherever that sin is found, he prays this. But he understands, in order to do this, in order to live this, in order to repent, he needs God to expose his sin. So this is the prayer of a repentant sinner. Expose my sin. Turn me inside out. I thought about even making that the theme of the sermon. Turn me inside out. Show me what's on the inside, so that I would see why I live the way that I do and certain sinful behaviors. But show me what's on the inside and uncover all of my sin. Father, evaluate me. Evaluate my heart. Evaluate my thoughts. Show me what I am really like. It's a prayer for an exhaustive search of God in his heart, and in his mind. I'm understanding what this means. Will you pray this? Do you desire to pray this? Do you really desire to pray this? You want God to show you those things. Remember what we read about Reverend Voss saying earlier. Do you really want this? Do you want God to show you what ails you? What's really wrong with you? That's the prayer of true repentance. And this is the prayer then that you and I must learn to make. You and I must learn to make this because you and I really like to leave things at the surface. There may be many different reasons for that, but we would just like to look at the surface. But there's so much more than what's found at the surface in our lives. There's so much more than just the outward, what we say and what we do. That can be true, for example, when it comes to anger. This is just one example of that. That there's so much anger we might have, but we don't let it out in what we say or in what we do. We can be angry about something, but we're quiet about it. But in the meantime, what we're like on the inside is like a 2-liter bottle that you shook up. And then all you have to do is twist that cap just a little bit, and your kids know what happens. Psh! Goes spraying out all over the place. Sometimes there can be so much anger that's building up in us, it just takes one little thing, and then we break, as it were. And it breaks forth out of us, and it sprays out of us. But much of the time, we're holding that in, just like that bottle is holding in that carbonation. Maybe we've been hurt by someone and we're angry about that. Or maybe we have anger because of many different things that have happened to us. But there is that within us, and the bitterness and the desires of murder and wanting to hurt others as well. And we don't like to look at all of that. We just want to leave it on the surface. And that can be true with so many of our sins. We just realize we do something wrong. We say sorry for it. And we move on. Maybe that's because we really don't want to find out what we're really like on the inside. Or maybe we don't want to look at that because when it comes to the surface, we can convince ourselves we look pretty good. We're doing the things that we should be doing. On the outward. On the outside. And we don't want to look at what's below it all. We're very good at pretending and making it all look good when there's so much dirtiness on the inside. Let's understand tonight how easily we can deceive others. Others don't know what's going on the inside. But not only do we deceive others, but we can easily deceive ourselves. But we need to remember tonight, there's one from whom we cannot escape. It's the living God. That's what we read in Hebrews 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God is the one who is able to expose what is found in our hearts. How often do we stop and consider that? So now we do we pray this? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And then we spend some time thinking about it. I took a counseling class about 5 years ago. And in a couple of the assignments that I had in that counseling class was self-counseling projects. I had to counsel myself. And I had to pick a sin in my life, and I had to pick as well a difficulty in my life, and counsel myself through them. That was painful. But I say that not about myself, but just to see and understand that that's kind of really what we should be doing in our own lives, looking at our hearts. Why do I do what I do? Why do I say what I do? If I got anger, if I've got anxiety and I'm not trusting, I'm living in fear. What's going on in my heart? What have I set my heart on that I'm not getting, and that's why I'm angry, or that's why I'm living in fear? And so we need to pray this prayer, but understand what we're getting into when we pray this prayer. Search me, O God. We're saying, show me the sins of my inner man. Show me where I'm not living in faith like I should. Show me the idolatry that is found in my heart. It's not just for when we're caught in a sin. It's true then. Then also sometimes you just like to look at the outward, but we got to go deeper. And so we need to pray this petition then when we're caught in our sin, we're looking at the outward and the visible, we need to go deeper. What's underneath? What was in my heart at that time? What controlled my heart? What was driving me in that sin? Why was I doing what I was doing? Those are some of the questions we need to ask. But it's for everyday life. If you're angry on the road, if there are things that are bothering you, if there are things that you're afraid of, if you wake up crabby in the morning, why am I crabby in the morning? We might just say, well, I'm not a morning person. No, there's something deeper. Really, there is. What is it in our hearts? Are we waking up with the joy of another day of serving the Lord in the calling that He has given to us? So we need to be asking ourselves these questions. Where am I not trusting? Where do I need real and lasting change to take place, not only in my life, but in my own heart? And now the question comes again, do we want this? Will we pray this, not only in this week, but going forward in our lives, asking for God's help that He would expose the sins of our hearts? Show me the sin of my heart. That's our prayer, the humble petition of repentance. But really, the only way to pray this is also with confidence. This petition is made in the confidence of faith. It's trusting the God to whom we pray. It's really the only way to pray this, because to pray this is to pray something that makes us very vulnerable. From an earthly perspective, we don't like to be vulnerable. We don't like to be seen as weak. But that's what this petition does when we pray it from the heart before God. Show me the sin of my heart. But knowing God rightly, we can pray this and pray it confidently. Why? Well, there are two things we need to see about God. First of all, we need to see this. That He is the God who alone can search us and try us and know us. The confidence arises out of the truth of God that is found right here in Psalm 139. The second thing that we must have the confidence of as we pray this is the love of God that also flows out of everything that we've looked at here in Psalm 139. But first this. We pray this knowing that God alone is able to search us and know us. Why is God alone able to search us and know us? Because He is omniscient. What does that mean? It means that God knows everything. There is nothing that is secret from God. Remember what David says in the beginning of the psalm. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. He knows when I lay down. He knows when I get up. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Not all of them minus one. Not all of them minus five. He's acquainted with all of my ways. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with them all. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. He knows every word that you and I speak. And He knows what's behind it as well, our thoughts. And we can include in that, as we're looking at this text, our hearts. God knows what is here. We can hide it from so many others, but God knows what is found here, and He knows what is found in our lives. That means as well that He knows all the sufferings of this life that we go through. He knows all of our sins. He knows what it is that we're going through in our lives. He knows your sorrows. He knows why you have a heavy heart. He knows where you struggle. But that also means, because God knows that, and He knows it so much better than we know ourselves, He knows it perfectly, that He is the one who is able to expose this to us. He's the one who speaks truth to us. You want to know the way you really are? Well, don't trust in yourself. And don't even trust so much other people. But you can trust God to know the way that you really are. Now, we should trust other people. And we should want other people to tell us when we're not walking in a right and good way. But understand that even with them, we can hide things from them. But not from God. He sees and knows it all, and He will speak truth to us. Now the question is, how does God do that? Even in this week of self-examination, okay, we pray this prayer. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my desires. How is God going to show us? He doesn't whisper it in our ears. He doesn't come to us with some amazing, marvelous revelation. The way He does that is through His Word. By comparing not only our lives, but our very desires and our thoughts with what the Word of God says. That's the amazing power of the Word. It penetrates. It digs deep. It bores deep down within us. It has the power to do that. Not just because we know that by experience, but that's what the Bible itself says. Hebrews 4, verse 12. I read verse 13 before. Now we go back to verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. That means living. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There it is, of the heart. The Word of God is able to go where nothing else is able to go. Because it's the Word of the one true and living God. You want to know what you're really like? God tells you right here. That's why we need to be reading the Word, studying the Word, looking at that Word. This week, when you pray this petition, do so with the Word of God open. Do so with a passage like Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, the putting off and putting on chapter, telling us what we are to put off and what we are to put on. Doing so with a passage like Psalm 119, about the law of God and what our calling is, or many other passages that we might have and can think of, but to do so with the Word of God open, and we can trust that as we read that Word and examine not only our lives, the outward, but also the inward, that God is going to show us what we are really like. We can have that confidence because God is one who works through His Word. And so we might look at it from this perspective, my marriage, how I treat my spouse, how I as a parent treat my children, how I as a child or young person am responding to my parents, what those things say about me, what they say about the idols that are found in my heart, what's the focus of my life, what do I think about the most? Is work so important that it gets in the way of other things? Am I constantly thinking about money? Am I afraid? Because the bills are piling up and I wonder where that money's going to come from. Oh, we think about those things. They're very real, but do those things begin to dominate in our lives? We have the confidence that God, because He is the all-knowing God, will expose these things to us. So that, first of all, He is able to do this because He is omniscient. Secondly, we pray this in the confidence of God's unchanging love. Beloved, you and I would not for a second dare to pray this unless we knew the love of God. This is why it is that we would have a difficult time trusting anybody with our hearts and our thoughts. And even isn't that evident in our own lives? Who of us wants to tell someone else everything that we think about. Who of us would want to tell someone else everything that we desire? All the lusts and the desires that we have. We hide them. We do. Sometimes because we don't want to hurt others. We know the desires we had, the thoughts we had were wrong. We would be embarrassed if everybody else knew everything that we thought and everything that we desired. We wouldn't know how that would be used against us, especially some of us in some of the relationships that we have. If someone knew that about the way I think, someone knew that about the way I desired, they might use that against me. They might pound me with it. It would hurt. That's why we don't always trust other people with those things. But there's one we can trust with all of those things. It's our Father. It's our God. Because we know His unchanging, unfailing love for us. Beloved, we can come to Him praying this prayer, "Search me and try me." Because we know that there is safety in Him. He will not use this against us. He's not going to turn against us. He knows it all already. He does every bit and piece and detail of it. And we need to know then that our Father does love us. This prayer then is not prayed mechanically, but it's prayed out of the depths of our hearts, knowing and trusting the love of God for us, the mercy of God and the grace of God. So that's why we can cry out, "Search me, O God. Know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and show me if there's any wicked way in me." How can we have that assurance? Well, we can have that assurance in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's how the psalmist could have this assurance. Well, the cross hadn't happened yet, but there are all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. There are the sacrifices there at the tabernacle and the temple, which assured of the coming of the mediator that God had promised. There are all the promises in the Old Testament. Then there were the feasts, especially the Passover feast, and that lamb that was killed there at the Passover feast, pointing ahead to the Lamb of God who would come and save His people from their sins. There was no reason for the psalmist to be afraid because he clung to that. He was looking back in history at the way God had delivered His people out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, and the giving then of the Passover there to remind them of the Red Sea, and God's bringing His people into the Promised Land where there is fellowship and communion with God. David had the consciousness, the awareness of these things that displayed the love of God. We have assurance of that too. Not only of those feasts in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, but the fulfillment of that all. We look back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we remember the love of God there that He gave His only begotten Son. And we remember what Jesus Christ did there. He atoned for every one of our sins. And that displays the perfect love of God for us. And that's the assurance we have then as we pray this petition, "Search me, O God." We pray this in the confidence of the unfailing and unchanging love of God. And so with that confidence, there's also a focus. A focus. That's what comes out in the last part of verse 24. "And lead me in the way everlasting." The way everlasting literally should be translated old ways. So the psalmist is praying, "And lead me in the old ways." So the question is, what is the psalmist referring to when he speaks of those old ways? Well, this is the old way of faith in the promises of God. Really, we can put it this way: faith in Jesus Christ and the godliness that flows out of faith in Christ. When the psalmist says, "Lead me in the way everlasting," he's not simply praying that God would get rid of this sin out of his life So he wouldn't walk in it any longer. He's not praying chiefly for the work of sanctification, God cleansing him and getting that sin out of his life. But instead, what he's praying for is that he would know the cleansing power of Christ's blood. That he would know forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is the only way to rid ourselves of the sins that God exposes. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not just getting rid of my old nature so I don't sin anymore. We need that, and we need change to take place in our lives. But what we need first and foremost is the cross of Jesus Christ in the way of repentance. That the child of God, repenting of sin, is looking to that cross and believing that there is forgiveness in that cross and in that cross alone. This is what the child of God needs. This is what the child of God wants and desires. We need that to fill our hearts because that's the greatest need that we have. And so this week too, as we pray this prayer, is that what fills our hearts? We're going to find things and see things. And that happens all through our lives that we didn't realize were there. And it's painful. We're going to find out all kinds of things about ourselves in this week and in the days ahead that we don't want to look at. But they're there. And God will show them to us in His grace. But as we do so, this is what ought to fill our minds. It's the cross of Christ. What Jesus Christ has done. And then we can come together and partake of the Lord's Supper in the confidence of the cross. That's how we have to learn to pray then. It's hypocrisy to pray this prayer and not really desire to get rid of sin. If you pray this and God exposes your sin, but you won't confess your sin and you won't turn from your sin, God says to you, you're a hypocrite. You really don't want this. I'm showing you and you're rejecting that. That's a great danger for us in our own lives. But that's not the right way to come to the table of the Lord next Sunday. The right way is this way. To understand that the Lord's Supper is for forgiven sinners. It's for sinners who are confessing their sin as God is exposing that sin to them. They're confessing that sin, wanting to come to the table because we need together the assurance of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We come to the table with that being our great need. Not I'm good enough. I'm not. There's only one thing that makes me worthy to come before God. It's Christ, His finished work, and His righteousness. That gives us peace. Peace in our souls. But then also this. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in a way that is right and good. May not continue in my sinful way, but turn from that sinful way. That should be our desire as well. We want to live a life that's pleasing to God. Not just getting by, not just enough, but always wanting to grow and be faithful to God and obedient to Him in gratitude and for the glory of our great God. And that follows from knowing and believing Jesus Christ. The strength to do this is found alone in Him. So now, we go into a week of self-examination. We know what we're to pray. It's this. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me and the way everlasting. Memorize the verses. Pray them. Desire to see what God wants you to see. Don't pray it as a hypocrite. But don't be afraid in it. God's there in His love. And He will assure you of what you are and what you have in Jesus Christ. So pray this from the heart in that confidence. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in this week, Search us. Know our hearts. Try us. And know our thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in that way to Christ and His cross and the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Humble us, Father. Bless us. Fill us with the comfort and the hope that is found only in Jesus Christ. And we pray this for the glory of Thy great name. In Jesus' name do we ask all of this. Amen.